Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Nadav Sivan is a London and Israel-based artist who is a singer, songwriter, producer, performer, and without question, a star on the rise. His early introduction to music, surprisingly perhaps, came via music therapy. He was partially deaf until the age of 4, after which he underwent a major operation to repair his hearing. Following the surgery, his parents brought him a piano, and there was no turning back. He became a top classically trained pianist, playing and competing throughout his childhood and teens. His debut album, Till the Day We Die, was released in 2023, and his single from the album, You So Hot, was featured in a scene from the Kardashians' later series. Nadav's work spans emotional piano ballads to pop tracks infused with electronic and hip-hop, complete with dynamic and electrifying dance moves. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Nadav Sivan. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
So right now, I'm in Tel Aviv. What am I doing? Well, I mainly work on my music. You know, it means performing all kinds of places. And actually right now, I'm working on my next album.
Let's rewind. At what age did you feel cool? You want to be in this creative world, creating music. And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
The truth is that I started in a very, very, very young age, at the age of 4 and a half, as a classical pianist. I started studying piano, and I did that for many years until the age of 19. And I don't think I've ever wanted to do anything else. I thought I'm going to be a pianist or a conductor or something like that. So I really knew I'm going to be in the music world and it's everything I want to do in my life. I just didn't know that it's going to transform and become, you know, all kinds of other different crazy stuff, as it appears to be right now. But yeah, from a very young age.
So how did that transition happen from being a pianist and thinking you're going to be a conductor or in that space to the genres that we are creating in now?
So it's a good question, and I have an interesting answer. I don't know if, you know, your listeners and viewers know that, but here in Israel, we're all committed. We must go and do the army. We have 3 years that we need to go to the army. Now, it was a very interesting time. I was 19 at the point, and I was like in the best shape of me as a classical pianist. And then I just needed to go to the army to be a combat there. And you know, it's quite sad and everything, but a very interesting thing happened. It was the first time that I was without my piano, you know, practicing and working every day. And I started singing because, you know, I did need to connect with music in some way, something that I like doing and I need doing all the time. And yeah, then I think I started doing this transition from the classical world into the more, I would say, modern music world. And I found it really, really, really interesting. Think that, you know, until the age of 19, I would just hear Beethoven and Rachmaninoff, Mozart, Schubert and Schumann. And then suddenly I started listening to Rihanna and Bruno Mars and Tupac and Stevie Wonder, and, you know, in a very late age. And it was like a whole crazy, amazing new world for me, you know, seeing also these artists perform and doing all these things. And I really fell in love quite quickly.
You mentioned that it was the first time you were listening to that type of music. Was it because you were so enveloped in the classical world that you didn't really have time, or were there other reasons as well?
I think that, you know, the classical world is very weird and very specific.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I didn't have time to listen to any other sort of music, but when you're in it, and the amount of pressure and things you need to do all the time. You know, you need to practice so much, and your teachers and people working with you are like, you know, when you don't practice, you need to hear and listen to the pieces you're playing and right. to the artists and composers you're playing. So just everything is around it, and it's a lot. And to be honest, it was too much for me. When I think about backwards.
You didn't realize it was overwhelming then. It was only back now
No.
that, in retrospect. Oh, that's interesting.
Exactly.
Your creative process from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song. Is it easy every time? What motivates it? What invigorates it? Do you collaborate with others? Let's unpack your creative brain.
So first of all, it's very different every time. And it depends on each song, on what song it's going to be, or what is the place I come in to this process. Because sometimes, especially if it's suddenly like a piano ballad that will be written of about someone I love or someone who broke my heart or anything like that, it would be like the regular, way of sitting on the piano, writing and composing everything, coming together in one time. It also can be divided. Sometimes I'll come up with, some sort of an idea. And then, I don't know, a few days later, I will suddenly stick into a course that, suddenly came up. But that's the way I work when I'm alone. It changes. Sometimes it's a text that I write and then I compose. Sometimes it's a beautiful melody or cool beat I created. So that's, one sort of options I have and ways I work in. And sometimes it would be, especially when I collaborate and work with other artists or other songwriters, it will be more like sitting together, having now these few hours that we need to come up with something. And it's a completely different way and process of creating because, yeah, it's more also you have other beautiful brains working with you, and it always creates new, different stuff, and it's beautiful every time. And also, I feel like I'm not in my room when no one can see me and no one can know what I'm thinking. So it's a bit different, but also amazing in this other different, beautiful way.
So when you're writing or collaborating with artists or writers that you have yet to write or collaborate with before, when you're meeting them for the first time, does it take a moment for you to get used to their energy and their space for you to open up into that vulnerability of creativeness? Or do you just,
Absolutely.
oh, it does. You don't just dive in. It's just a moment.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think there are people and there are artists that you could just sometimes, it just clicks. It
Yes.
just clicks, and in
Yep.
an instant, you could just get to work with them. And sometimes it's a process that takes time, or be a session, another one, and maybe just the third one, something will open. And also sometimes you just don't find this bond and it doesn't really happen. It also happened to me a few times.
Okay. You referenced the album. So tell us, I know a lot of the stuff in this world is secretive. So how far along are we in the process? Do you have an idea of when it would be released? What the theme is? Anything you can tell us?
Okay, so first of all, I don't think I'm a secret person. I'm
Okay.
absolutely fine with talking, yeah, and anything, I have in hands right now. First of all, this album was all written here during the war. I was abroad a lot, performing in Europe and Asia. But yeah, it was a lot about everything going on here. Also, in terms of, seeing, all this crazy situation, and also in the way it reflects your personal life, just as a human being, your connections with friends, family, romantic relationships, and everything going on. I think this album is going to be quite sad, to be honest. Well, not sad, but
Yes.
yeah, like ballads, more gentle. I want the piano to be a big main thing in this album. I think that in the first album I did, I reduced a lot the way I play the piano. I come from the classical world and the piano is like a huge thing. And the producers that I worked with on my first album always wanted me to like be more simple, be more shaped, be more like easy. And I'm very hoping to be able, to express a lot also with the piano as a main bass for all the productions of the song. And another thing that I'm really, really hoping to manage doing is really creating also a concept to the sound of the album. Of course, songs are going to sound different and be different, but using the same sounds, using the same world of production or vocal productions and everything's like that, really interests me, and I'm hoping to build up a nice world into this.
You referenced your first album, so this will be your second album, correct?
This is going to be my second album. Yeah, my
Okay.
first album was released a year ago.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for the hard work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, the booklet, listening to song from one to whatever number, because you guys put a lot of hard work in that, that journey of what you are creating. I'm not sure if you're aware that vinyls, CDs, and even cassettes are in a massive comeback. Last year alone in the UK, vinyls, 5.9 million sales, biggest since 1990. In the UK as
Oh my
well.
God.
Yes.
What numbers?
In the UK also, there's a basket of products that they gauge for tax purposes. So the exchange of these products. And because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs now are back in this basket of products for their gauging. And the research is showing that it's not the older nostalgic people, it's the younger, it's the teenagers and the early 20s that are buying into this physical world. But then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your personal observations of the landscape at the moment?
First of all, it's so interesting to hear what you're saying. I think the most interesting point was that it was young people, that it is young people who are consuming and, wanting to experience music through the physical world. I think it's amazing. I do it. I have here Lord of Records and I love it. Lord of Vinyls. I think that when, you find this slot of your day, the time, to stop everything you're doing, because what's the thing with the streaming? I think it's so simple and easy, and you can do it when you do everything. It's in your fucking phone, so you can work, you can do sports, you can do everything, you can go in the street, ride your bicycle, do everything you like, and the music is somewhere there. And when you go, you buy a CD or you buy a vinyl or whatever. And you sit down, you put it, you listen to it, and it's so exciting. And you put an amount of money on it. So it becomes, it becomes a thing. I love it. I love it. And also I really hope to print some albums also for the next album. We wanted to do it for the first one, but it was like a bit too complicated and the times were too long for like printing them and do it.
So now, what do you enjoy about performing live?
Performing live is the things that I like doing the best. And I think it's this way for a few reasons. The first one, when you perform live, it's like you just have one shot of doing what you do. You have this one take with the players you play with the piano, with your dance and choreography, or just your vocal. And the energy you put into it, the excitement, that you have in this moment, it's just something that you cannot, it's not, you can't compare it to anything. And I think that another really beautiful thing is the connection you have with people with you in the same room. So absorbing, participating, seeing what you do, and you see them. And it's a very, very special thing. This past year, I'm surprised for how much I've performed because I really didn't expect to perform so much with my first album. And it was a beautiful thing also to go to so many different places and meet so many different people and cultures and see the way they react and see how, I don't know, people in Singapore and Thailand reaction people in Berlin and Germany or in France or the UK, and everything is so different. And every venue is so different. And I don't know, it's just amazing. It's so pure and authentic. I love it. I love it. I really do.
Okay, so I've got another debate of discussion with you around this. So
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's different in every countries, but I'm gathering it's like Western world, or let's just discuss. So I'm that guy that's normally in front. I'm jamming, I'm dancing, I'm doing my thing. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two photos, one or two video clips, and I put it away. I notice a lot of people around me at times are videoing a lot, posting a lot, tweeting a lot, whatever they're doing a lot with the phone. Do you find that that takes away from that connection and energy you were referencing, or it's just where society is at the moment?
Absolutely, yes. I think that if I was talking about this amazing feeling when I perform of being, you know, in this particular moment, I feel like the phones, and I get also when I go to concerts, I like taking like a picture or video so I can post it or whatever.
Yeah.
But then it stops because yes. I'm interested in looking and seeing everything going on stage. And I'm sorry, but it's not the same doing it, you know, through the camera and wanting to see that everything's all right. And if it's, you know, you need to zoom in or whatever, it's just not the same. And I think that it really harms this moment of being in a concert, being part of everything that's going on. This is in my eyes. I'm sorry. Yes. I hope I'm not hurting anyone, but yeah.
It's interesting because every artist has different perceptions and observations. So it's just interesting to hear all the inputs. I love this game. I know if I had to ask this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once you finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom? Your face.
Oh, my God. How do you even choose? Honestly.
What if you can't choose?
But wait.
Okay.
It's like the last 5 songs I can hear for the rest of my life.
No. It's five songs. Just 5 songs we're going to play now once we finish this conversation. Top of mind. Mm.
Okay. To be honest, I was sitting with my bass player just now. We were talking about Silk Sonic. And I just remember how beautiful and well produced and, you know, this album is such on point and everything going on over there. And I would love to hear, you know, I would do 2 songs from this album right now when we would finish this conversation. I don't know why, but Celine Dion is coming up on mine and I don't listen to it that much, but I think I saw a video of her at Adele's show or something like that.
Yeah.
It was something right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I want to hear her voice a bit. So amazing. Okay. So yeah, Celine Dion. So that's 3 because I chose 2 Silk Sonic songs.
Okay.
And then 1 of Celine Dion. I need to say which song in particular?
No, not just
the artist.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I think I'd listen to a Michael Jackson song. Because I love him and I didn't hear for some time. I think it would be really nice from his first albums. And 1 last one, I think I would listen to, could it be classical? I would listen to Chopin.
Yeah.
So I want to hear Chopin a bit, maybe some ballads of Chopin.
I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So that's the way people process information. Part of this process is that each of us have a dominant one, a secondary and tertiary. What means is we'll be in the dominant one, which will mean be in it for most of the day. Secondary, maybe a couple of hours, tertiary, if at all. Now, each of us have our own dominant ones that we put into place or practice from our young age. Now, there are 3 of them. So you have visual people. So visual people create pictures of the information they're hearing. So as I'm talking, a visual person will see create pictures in their mind. Auditory people, it's about hearing the words, understanding the words, putting the words into sentences, understanding the sentences and so forth. So it's all about the auditory or audio factors. Kinesthetic, now we'll do that word again, kinesthetic, that's through understanding or processing the information through body language, tone of voice, energy, emotions, all those sort of elements that are happening through that interaction of communication. Now focusing specifically on music. Okay, because I have other elements might play in different aspects of your life. But focusing specifically on music, when you're listening to music by other artists or of your own songs, are you creating pictures? Is it about the words or is it about the feeling?
It would be, first of all, about the feeling.
Okay.
Also, when I listen to music and also when I'm speaking to you or to every other person, it's so interesting to hear what you said just now. I'm sorry, I've never heard about it. And it's amazing because it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Energy.
Energy. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you're listening to songs by other artists, are you able to just relax and listen to it for what it is? Or is your technical creative brain unpacking what they've created?
I think I have two positions of listening to music. It could be, first of all, and maybe it's the more difficult one, but yeah, trying to listening to it as a whole, as one thing. And so that's one. And then yeah, it's just, hearing it as a whole, and sometimes, and maybe most of the times, it would be unpacking it, and understanding also in terms of production, in terms of mix, in terms of genres, in terms of instruments that they chose to produce with, vocals, everything going on. So my brain will mainly go to there. And if I don't want to be there, I really need to work hard, being like, Nadav, calm down. Try, like,
It's interesting that because a lot of people in the industry love music and are passionate about it, but then that when it's taking time just to step away and relax, just to listen,
It's so true.
they
It's
struggle
so
to do
true.
that.
It's so true. It's so true. And it's a pity because, I think you miss out sometimes the main essence of listening to a song. It's
Absolutely.
hearing a piece of art that someone created to tell you what he feels or what he thinks, or,
Yeah,
not
it's
not not
interesting.
more than that. It's not that complicated.
Yeah. Okay, so Nadav, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
That these times now, I'm very connected to everything going on here in Israel and everything. And the main thing is, first of all, that I really, really wish for peace. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And just to see people living their life in their simple way, doing what they like, what they love. With no need to worry of getting being harmed or hurt or everything or anything like that. And yeah, also like through music, I think I feel that when I perform and everything, something that connects people in such a beautiful way. So I think that this is, things that I have especially in mind right now, just finding peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.